Isn't that the strangest darn gospel ever? So Jesus in a bad mood, or what's the deal, or is he, you know, I have no idea. I don't get it. Maybe you do, you could enlighten me, but I don't get this thing. So what I want to do is approach this from not just their interaction, but the disciples' interaction with Jesus. Because I believe that helps situate us within what the dynamic of Matthew's gospel is at this point. And part of that is this. This is just after the middle of Matthew's gospel. There are 28 chapters. This is chapter 15. And the chapters weren't introduced into the scriptures until about 1450. Just saying, so, you know, Matthew didn't have chapters in mind. So the deal is, at this point, two things interesting are going on with the disciples. One is, they're telling Jesus to send everybody away. That's an overstatement, but in the previous chapter where Jesus feeds the 5,000, what they tell him is, look, you got all these people out here. They're too hungry. We can't afford to do anything for them. Send them away. And then there's a time just before that, I believe, there's a couple blind folks coming up and saying, Lord, son of David, the same thing that was said here by the Canaanite woman. And he's saying, send them away. They're crying out after us. And just after this episode today, where Jesus is up in Tyre and Sidon and dealing with this woman, almost immediately after this, he's feeding 4,000 more people. And he says to the disciples, I don't want you to send them away. We have to do something about this. So there's something that's being shown. And just after this, a couple chapters after this, they don't send away the children coming for a blessing, but they rebuke them. So the disciples have this deal where they're pushing people away. What I want to say is that situates you and me in our little worlds as disciples, as part of answering the call of Christ. The other thing they do is they have spiritual Alzheimer's. Send the blind man away. He's crying after us. Send this woman away. She's crying after us. And just last Sunday in the gospel, we heard it, the previous chapter, a couple episodes before this one. They're out in the boat, and this is the first or second time they're out in the boat. There's this big dang storm, and they're out there terrified. And what does the Greek say? Kradzo. They are crying out. And what seems to me to be at work is this human pattern. We can cry out to God. We can complain. We can go on about stuff with others, to others, or whatever. But let someone else cry out, send them away. Ever do that? Yeah, probably. And I think it has something to do with this other phrase that seemed, I was sent to the lost sheep of Israel. The verb there is apolumi, and it means to lose. More, it means to destroy or to kill. So there's a picture in chapter 8 just before this where they're out there on the sea and Jesus is asleep in the boat and the waves are going like this, you know. And they cry out, "Lord, save us. We are perishing. We are being destroyed. We are lost." So when was the last time you cried out to God or someone else of feeling lost, of feeling hopeless, of feeling despair, fear, anger, sorrow? When was the last time you cried out to God for that? I remember it was a big week for me last week. I was doing that. Take it away. Fix this. Do this for me. What I think, what I'm perceiving anyway, see if it fits for you, that this thing about the lost sheep of Israel is referring right there to the disciples, the 12 and the rest of them all, which is this. They're perishing. They're crying out in their hearts, and they're sending everybody else away. Seems to me, one of the things that is a common enough, this is my observation, common enough human experience, is that the stuff that drives us, the emotional unruliness of it all, has to do with fear, resentment, old hurts, emptiness, loneliness, unworthiness, inadequacy. And nobody in their right mind wants to look at that stuff. No, I got this. No, I'm fine. No, I've got. I still like the old shirts. I think it was Nike or somebody. No fear. And I thought, what's at the bottom of that? Well, fear. In order not to be afraid, we get bigger than others, either in anger or in intimidation or whatever, don't we? That's what we do. In order not to feel this smallness of it all or vulnerability of our lives, we get bigger. And what happens there? And I think this is about being the lost sheep of Israel. Check your own life, but for me, I make others pay the price for my unwillingness to look at my own life and where I am vulnerable, where I'm wounded. And so, on the one hand, I get bigger, or on the other hand, I try to take stuff in stealing, gambling, alcohol, drugs, sex, drugs, rock and roll, you know, the whole thing about not noticing what's going on inside. Then we both make others pay the price for our unwillingness to look in here. And when we hear others expressing that same stuff, we don't want to send them away. Send her away. Because as long as I don't attend to this part of my life, y'all can, you know, be hurt in so many different ways, and essentially I just say, well, send them away. whether it's the poor or whether it's different groups that talk about being oppressed. I don't want to hear it, because I haven't dealt here yet enough with my stuff. And I think that's how, at least what I'm presenting is, that's how this gospel situates me, and I think some of us anyway, as disciples. This is part of discipleship. This is what's called repentance. As we get a picture of what it means to be lost, perishing, and we perish by making others perish, we might be able to talk about what Jesus says about that. If you want to be my disciple, lose your life. That's the losing that he talks about. Yikes! Who in their right mind wants to do that? And that's the conundrum of discipleship. It can be altogether too much to go into this part of our lives that we have guarded forever. It can be altogether too much to go there. I don't know how we get out of replaying the same old dramas day to day to day to day without starting to look in there. So there's a proposal. What we do at the Eucharistic prayer then is give thanks to God for the divine work in Jesus Christ through the Spirit, who opens for us a path through what Psalm 23 calls the valley of the shadow of death, where we don't want to go. That's where he opens the path. And as they say, you got to go through to get through. So perhaps over the next few years, we might be tempted to consider that. Who knows? But we give thanks to God who opens the way for us. Let's go about doing that.